The living room is where you make life's most beautiful memories. But your sofa shouldn't be the one remembering them. The new life-resistant, high-performance furniture collection from Ashley is designed to withstand all the spills, slip-ups, and muddy paws that come with the best parts of life. Ashley high-performance sofas and recliners are soft, on-trend, and easy to clean. Shop the high-performance furniture in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
HD Smartcast. You are listening to a Mint production brought to you by HD Smartcast.
Hello and welcome to Mint. I am Nasreen Sultana. I am an assistant editor at Mint. I keep a close track of all that is happening in the world of stock markets. You are listening to All Things Markets, where I speak to experts analyzing the big trends moving the stock markets.
The US Federal Reserve hint at raising interest rates by 2023 is feared to derail Indian markets' rally, with foreign flows getting drained out of emerging markets. The US Central Bank's hawkish comments last week sent markets worldwide in a sell-off mode. Federal Reserve officials held interest rates near zero but stunned investors by signaling it might raise interest rates at a much faster pace than assumed, sending yields and the dollar sharply higher. So, what are the implications of Fed's hawkish stance on India? To answer that, I'm joined by Mihir Vora, Senior Director and CIO, Max Life Insurance. Hi Mihir, welcome to the show.
Hi Nasreen, hope you are safe and doing well. Always a pleasure.
So Mihir, a lot of chatter about the Fed's hint at tapering rates, and we also felt the impact of those conversations in Indian markets last week. So if I can begin the conversation by asking you, what according to you will be the implications of Fed tightening rates on India and Indian markets?
So, Nasreen, the Fed talking about, thinking about tightening is what's basically been causing this volatility in the last 3-4 days. But let's put things in perspective. We are talking about the Fed potentially going in for a hike sometime in 2023, which they were not even talking about earlier. That's the small delta in sentiment that is causing this volatility. So I think physically, as far as the physical economy is concerned, nothing's going to change immediately as far as, you know, US is concerned or India is concerned. Whatever is good will remain good, and whatever is slow will remain slow. But it's just that the markets, have become so dependent on this easy money, the low interest rates, and we have seen valuations of most asset classes also being driven up to record levels based on this assumption of lower for longer or looser for longer, as we can say. So even a small change in sentiment is leading to volatility. So I don't think it makes an immediate difference at all to the fundamentals. But markets being what they are, do need to react to such developments, because there's a lot of calculations that go in, leverage positions, etc., which get unwound and readjusted based on these news flows. So I think it's the market impact is likely to be very short-lived. Ultimately, what will matter is how the global and local economy recovers.
Right. But as we all know, the Fed impact also has direct consequences on the FII flow. And, one thing that we've been talking about since years is decoupling. And Indian markets, unfortunately, have very seldomly decoupled from what the what the foreign markets or especially US markets are behaving. So you think that if Fed tightens its rates, it'll have an impact on the FII flow? Why I'm asking is this, because over the last few months, we have seen FII money supporting the markets, especially in the last few months when DIIs were on a sell-off mode. Even in the current month, DIIs are selling, net sellers, but FIIs have been holding the markets. So what do you think, what will be the impact on the liquidity, the foreign liquidity that supports the markets at the moment?
So again, we have seen time and again that these reactions are typically very short-lived, probably lasting for maybe a few weeks at most. I'm talking about the impact of these macro policy rate changes, etc.
Right.
But if you, again, step back and look at the longer-term, bigger picture, if you look at every calendar year since FIIs have started investing in India, which is since the 90s, I think it's been 20, 25 years, and I don't remember more than 2 years where FII on a net basis have been sellers. Okay, and those have been in basically very extreme crisis kind of years. So I think, again, FIIs also are comprising of various kind of participants. So you have the real hardcore long-term players, buy and hold kind of players, which is the sovereign funds, the long-only funds. And then you have the prop books and the hedge funds, which are more short-term in nature. So whenever these tactical announcements or tactical reactions happen, my guess is that none of the strategic asset allocators would likely go in for a change in their view, with long-term view on India or emerging markets for that matter. It's basically these shorter-term prop books and hedge funds, arbitrage players, so to say, who kind of adjust or unwind their trading positions. So I think it's, again, FIIs need to be granularly broken up into the short-term traders, hedge funds kind of FIIs, and the longer-term players. And my guess is the longer-term players don't really change their asset allocation based on these 25 basis points hikes or et cetera. It's basically tactical unwinding, because there are a lot of leverage positions, again, by FIIs in the F&O market, also in India, as well as the Singapore market, which leads to this unwinding in on the shorter term. But the longer term, if you just step back, we've hardly seen selling by FIIs.
Okay. So that means you're saying that even if Fed or the global central banks across the world, do a tightening of rates, it will not result into vanishing of the money that has been pumped into markets, at least after COVID struck all the nations together.
Absolutely, because the structural story still remains. And what we also need to understand is when the Fed or ECB tightens, say by 20 basis points, India will also automatically react, whether the RBI does it or not. But interest rates in India willy-nilly will react and adjust, right? So that the differential between the developed markets and Indian markets will continue to remain. You know what I mean?
Okay. Yeah. This is actually, you almost preempted my question. That was my following question, that because a lot of economists in India also are talking about a rate hike, or maybe starting with the repo rate, but still a tinkering of the rates, maybe by end of this 2021 or beginning of next year. So if RBI starts tinkering the rates and the low interest rate scenario that we have been into the last 1.5 years, that may impact the corporate earnings and the lending scenario altogether. Do you agree to that? And if yes, then how does it pan out for the markets?
So if you look at the broader indices, the larger equity indices, if again, strictly speaking from the market point of view, there has been a lot of deleveraging that has happened. So if you look at the Nifty 50 or BSE 100, 200 companies, we have seen a consistent deleveraging by corporates. So for the larger corporates, actually, interest as a percentage of the bottom line is not that high. And I think a 25, 50 basis points kind of a hike doesn't matter too much for the larger companies. It may matter for the smaller companies, but typically these are not really there in the index. So that's one. Secondly, what we have also seen is that in the last few months, there's been a lot of IPOs, especially in companies in the faster growing segment. So there's a lot of equity raising in the public as well as private markets, which is going on, which is also helping deleverage. So my guess is that if the interest rate hike or creep up of interest rate happens gradually, and it is because the economy is growing and there's no need for ultra low interest rates, then companies will be easily able to pass on their that increase in terms of cost price inputs, etc. Because it's a minor thing. It's not a big number. Maybe we are talking about a 0.1-0.2% rise in the selling prices. So if the hike is because of high inflation and stagflation kind of a situation, then it might be a bit difficult to pass on. But if the hike is because the economy is on the growth path and we don't really need those ultra loose monetary policy, then I don't think it will be an issue to pass on these rate hikes.
Okay. But inflation, of course, has been quite worrisome in the last 3 to 4 months, especially the inflation led by commodity, the super cycle in commodity, especially the metal prices have increased a lot. And as a consequence, auto companies have hiked their unit cost. And we saw that the impact of commodity prices also eating the margins of few companies in the March quarter. You think that inflationary pressure will have its impact or a lingering impact on the balance sheet of these companies?
You're talking about the companies in general or the metal or the
commodities? I'm talking about companies which are dependent on commodities for their products, like the auto companies, and the companies which the real estate, which is dependent on the steel or the infrastructure companies.
Sure. So I think the auto space and the consumer durable space and to some extent FMCG space will be impacted in the shorter term because the rise in raw material prices of steel and other commodities has been quite sharp. So we did see some impact in the last quarter, and I do see some impact in the coming quarter. But having said that, once we are past the low base effect, I think we will be back to normal pricing levels. And we are already talking about companies taking price hikes, for example, in the auto sector, et cetera, in the last couple of days. So there is an element of passing on to the consumer, which is also present. But I think overall, given the sharpness of the commodity rise in the last 6 to 9 months, it is inevitable that there will be some impact on the bottom line.
Okay, all right. But despite all the risks that we have discussed, stock markets have been quite on its up move. May not be in June alone, but if you look at 2021, we have been hitting record highs. The benchmark indices, Sensex and Nifty, have been hitting record highs. Sensex touched 53,000. Amid all the concerns that Fed got it or maybe inflation. But from what now from here on? Do you think that we are going to build on from here on, or there would be some hiccups as we move forward in 2021?
Sure. So a couple of things at play here. One is that because of the pandemic, we have seen record low interest rates globally, and that's driving a chase for yields. So not only equities, but commodities, lumber, cryptocurrencies, real estate all over the world is at record highs. So you are seeing a chase for yields. We are seeing record money flowing into private equity funds, other alternate investment funds, and this is all basically behavior which reflects that there is a scramble for yields because interest rates are not giving you anything. So to that extent, the high valuations that we are seeing in stock market is also reflected in high valuations in other asset markets also. The stock market is not a isolated case of high valuations. And given the guidance that most developed countries, central banks have given, I think this scenario of low interest rates is going to stay at least for the next couple of years. So we're not seeing any hurry to start tapering or start hiking interest rates. At least as far as the developed countries are concerned, countries like India and some of the emerging markets might be a little earlier than that. But globally, the developed markets will continue to be kind of, lower for longer kind of a situation. So I think that is one reason. But having said that, there are other indicators which do point to some kind of froth in the market. For example, the way small caps have recovered all the underperformance over the last 2-3 years. In India and a lot of other places also, valuations of small caps are almost at par with large caps. Typically, they tend to trade at a discount. So some of the indicators are pointing to some froth. So I'd be more comfortable if the market consolidates here for a while, digests the fresh earnings and moves on for the next year. One way move is from here will be a kind of a risky proposition given the overall state of the economy compared to valuations.
Okay. So one last question before we wind up is which sectors do you think would be leading the up move?
So for the last few quarters, we have been positioning ourselves more towards global-oriented sectors. So our call has been that the Indian recovery will be slower than the recovery in the US and other developed markets because the quantum and pace of monetary and fiscal push that they've done is much larger than what we've done in India. So we've been more bullish on the external facing sectors like exporters, IT, pharma, auto ancillaries, and a lot of chemicals, etc., which are linked to the global markets. And they've done well. My guess is that now that we were done with the second wave and probably and hopefully back on the recovery track, many of the sectors have actually underperformed quite a lot. For example, industrials, CapEx, plays, your consumer durables like auto, etc. So my guess is that if India has to do well, the economy has to come back on the recovery path, then probably we might want to look at these sectors which have underperformed for quite some time, which is the domestic looking sectors like FMCG, consumer durables, auto, and the industrials. I think the government is quite serious on promoting private sector investment through PLI schemes. That is one. Some of those sectors are seeing natural growth like chemicals, auto ancillaries, etc. And of course, the government itself is spending a lot on infrastructure and, you know, the public works, roads, airports, etc., ports, etc. So my guess is that if the India story does come back on the growth path, as we hope it will, then it will be time to look at the domestic linked sectors as we discussed. And of course, to top it all, the banking sector does reflect the domestic economy to a great extent. So banking is something also one should look at when we are talking about a domestic recovery.
Right. All right, Mihir, on that note, thanks a lot for sharing those insights and also giving us your time. Thank you so much once again, and we wish you good health.
Thank you, Nasreen, and wish you good health too.
For feedback, you can write to me at nasreen.s@lifemint.com, or you can reach out to me on Twitter at Nasreen Story. You can also reach out to us at HT Smartcast. We are present on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. And to listen to more podcasts like this, you need to log on to www.htsmartcast.com.
This was a Mint production brought to you by HT Smartcast.
HT Smartcast.
The living room is where you make life's most beautiful memories. But your sofa shouldn't be the one remembering them. The new life-resistant, high-performance furniture collection from Ashley is designed to withstand all the spills, slip-ups, and muddy paws that come with the best parts of life. Ashley high-performance sofas and recliners are soft, on-trend, and easy to clean. Shop the high-performance furniture in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.